We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. We'll check in with our green and gold insider, Michael Cohen. You can find his work, PackersNews.com, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and right there on my favorite website, Twitter.com, Michael_Cohen13. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hi, Michael.
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Seems like some of the stuff is settling in with the Green Bay Packers. They're going to hire their linebacker coach who coached defensive line and the New York Giants last year, Patrick Graham. But anything you've learned about I think people are really concerned about this front office situation and what's going on there and the pillars and all that and the silos. Anything else you've learned about the structure and what's going on there and maybe any tidbits of how this all came to be?
Well, I think that any concern that people have about the front office structure and the sort of the power tree that goes from Brian Gutekunst, Mike McCarthy, and Russ Ball up to Mark Murphy, I think any concern that people have with that is absolutely warranted. I don't think the power structure makes a lot of sense, and I think that it opens up the possibility for there to be a lot of bickering behind closed doors where whether it's Gutekunst or McCarthy or Russ Ball, if one of those guys doesn't get their way, you're just creating opportunities for them to go to Mark Murphy and just complain about whatever they're frustrated with at that particular time. And I just think that that's a problem. I think that in sports organizations, there needs to be a clear chain of command from person A to person B to person C, where person C, the highest up the totem pole, has full authority to make any decision that they want. And that was the system under Ted Thompson. And I know that there were some issues at the end with communication and things like that, but all roads led back to Ted Thompson's office when it came to decision-making. And I think that's hugely important. So I have no issue with people being frustrated with the power structure because I don't think it makes a lot of sense myself.
Michael, who do you think maybe their future's more on the line? And I don't know the possibility of it, but it seems like if Mark Murphy's doing all this, scrambling to try to get this power structure and maybe course correct for what went on the last 3 years. I mean, he's in a position that he can be removed from. Is the board more likely to remove him, or is Mark Murphy more likely to fire Mike McCarthy if this doesn't work?
That's a really good question. You know, I'm not familiar enough with the board and the members of the board to know what their thought process was in terms of, you know, their level of satisfaction or dissatisfaction with Murphy. But I do know that Mike McCarthy needs to win a lot this season. And I think, you know, I was talking about this with Tom Silverstein on our podcast that came out this morning. I think that there's a situation where Mike McCarthy can make the playoffs and still get fired after this season. I'm not saying it's likely, but I'm saying it's certainly possible.
No, I'd agree with that.
They need to play significantly better than they did all season long, start to finish, in order for him to justify or rationalize the wholesale changes that he made and actually say, look, the things that I did made a difference. Because if they limp into the playoffs at 10-6 or 11-5 and get a wild card, or maybe they win the division, but then they don't go anywhere, then I don't really see how that's much of an upgrade over what's happened the last 4 or 5 years.
Michael, is that something that you've heard from your sources with the connected in the NFL and the team, or is that your analysis that he's got to win big?
I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, he has to win big. I mean, you can't make the wholesale changes that he makes. You can't make the statement that he made about demanding more talent and then expect to have another, you know, decent season at best and stick around. You know, so it's a situation where he's got to win. And not only that, but he's only got 2 years left on his contract, and teams around the league, whether it's the Packers or otherwise, very rarely go into situations where they have a lame duck coach. So, in other words, McCarthy essentially, he has 2 years left on his contract, but he really only has 1 year left on his contract because at some point during the next season, they'll either decide to extend him or not extend him. And if they don't extend him, you know, there's very few teams in the league that want to go into the 2019 season with a guy that is on the final year of his contract because there's no job security for assistant coaches. There's no job security for the head coach. And you never know what's going to happen in those situations. Just like the Packers didn't want to go into a situation where Ted Thompson would be on the final year of his contract this year in 2018 as general manager. So, you know, I think it's pretty clear that this is a do or die season for Mike McCarthy in a lot of different ways. And I think he's got to really, really make a statement. You know, if he doesn't want to give Brian Gutekunst a reasonable explanation for why he should be removed as head coach.
Wow. So in past years, going 11-5 and losing in the divisional playoff games, that might have been acceptable. Not that anybody would be happy about it, but this year, 11-5 divisional playoff round, yeah, that's not good.
Well, it's not necessarily that it was acceptable in past years. It's that it didn't happen a ton of, there wasn't a ton of repetition in that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what I'm saying is if you go 11-5 once, okay, nobody really cares. If you go 11-5 twice, again, nobody really cares. When you start to do it 3, 4, and 5 times and you start to reach, you know, the first round of the playoffs and lose, or the second round of the playoffs and lose, or maybe you get to the NFC title game, but you're embarrassed on two different occasions like they were in the final minutes in Seattle and then absolutely obliterated by the Falcons. When you start to have that pattern over and over again, then the things that were once tolerated are no longer tolerated. And it's not necessarily that they were okay to begin with. It's just that there wasn't enough supporting evidence around it to say that, okay, this is becoming a pattern. It's an outlier to start, and then when it becomes a pattern, that's when it's an issue.
Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold insider here, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. The Mike Pettine hire, obviously, the other day we talked about that with you. He continues now to sort of build that staff. Joe Witt, in charge of cornerbacks last season, will stick around as the defensive passing game coordinator. He was one of the guys considered for the defensive coordinator job. Obviously, they like him. Do we know what this new job really entails and why they kept him around?
Essentially, it's going to be assistant defensive coordinator. And so he's going to have a role that was kind of like some of the things that you saw when Tom Clements was here on the offensive side of the ball, where Mike McCarthy was, you know, the head coach, and for all intents and purposes, he served a lot of the roles as the offensive coordinator, too. And then you had Tom Clements, who worked with Aaron Rodgers in the passing game just to make sure everything was on par there. And I think that's really what Joe Witt is going to do. You know, obviously, Mike Pettine is the defensive coordinator. He's going to call the plays. He's going to run the scheme, everything like that. But I think it's going to be up to Joe Witt to figure out how to fix the pass defense in ways that, you know, they really have struggled over the past few seasons, whether it's mental mistakes from young players like Josh Jones, Josh Hawkins, you know, and things like that, or whether it's more about finding ways to utilize their best players more effectively in terms of, you know, HaHa Clinton Dix, Demarius Randall, things of that nature. And so I think the reason they wanted to keep him is because from everything I've heard and everything I've seen, he's a very effective communicator with his players, and he really does a lot of things in a unique way. Given his college background, where he was a recruiting coordinator at Louisville, he's able to connect with guys a little bit differently than coaches who only came up through the professional ranks or have been in the professional ranks for a very, very long time and maybe are not in touch with the way college recruiting takes place and how you build relationships with guys. So I think that they wanted to keep him around for all of those reasons. And, you know, now it's an opportunity for him to really boost his resume a little bit. And you know, I'm sure he wants to be a coordinator someday and maybe even a head coach. So this is an important step for him in that direction.
Any word on why Elliot Wolf? And we talked about him not getting the general manager job, but, you know, he did fit into the readjusted structure, it seemed, and he just took off. How he felt about not getting this job and what worked against him?
Well, I think, you know, the easiest place to look at, the easiest way to answer that question is to look at the end result.
Mm-hmm.
He left the Green Bay Packers for the Cleveland Browns. And so I think that tells you right there how he felt about the situation. And I don't blame him, honestly. You know, Elliot's not a guy that I got to know very well during my time here. It's just not somebody I spent a ton of time with or talked to a whole lot. But, I mean, if you just look at it from the outside, I think it's a situation that a lot of us can relate to when, you know, we've sought promotions in various roles over the courses of our career. This is a guy that was denied by Ted Thompson, you know, the chance to interview with different organizations 3 times and then he was permitted to interview for the 49ers and the Indianapolis Colts, and did not get those jobs. And so the Packers kept him around and kept him around and kept him around and kept promoting him and kept promoting him and kept promoting him. And then in the end, they said, you know what, you know, we're just going to go in a different direction. And so I think there was probably some frustration. I think there was probably some, you know, maybe even some anger, to be honest. And so I think that for a guy that has grown up in Green Bay and has to carry the last name that he does with everything that comes with it, I think it makes sense for him to try and spread his wings a little bit, go to a different place, gain experience somewhere outside of Green Bay, mm-hmm. and show that he can replicate his success with a franchise that he's not totally familiar with, the way he has so much intimate knowledge of the Packers from being here for so long. And, you know, the reason they went with Gutekunst, I think, is partially, you know, age. I think Elliott's age of 35 works against him when Gutekunst has another decade of life experience. And I think also that Brian Gutekunst, from everything I've been told and everything I've heard, interviews unbelievably well. I know that he absolutely blew away San Francisco with his interview, only to pull out of the process himself. And I believe Mark Murphy was similarly blown away by Brian Gutekunst's demeanor, poise, explanation of how he wants to run the program, and things like that. So those are really the factors that came into play with Elliott Wolf.
Not enough to be able to fire McCarthy, though, but still probably a good interview. Michael, we'll check in with you next week. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sounds good, guys. Enjoy the playoff games this weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.